Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right. It's the Weekly Worldview. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And I guess we'll start this week, jump right into the mask hysteria file. Right off the bat, here we go. From the mask hysteria file, the Daily Caller reports that police say a dispute occurred. Police say, which means maybe it did, maybe it didn't. This is just what the police say. You know how they are. Can't really believe anything they say. So we're just going to tell you what they said. And then the facts will come out later. Anyway, police say there was a dispute at about 6:30 inside the Apple Store on 14th Street in New York City, near Chelsea, if that means anything to you. What happened, you see? What happened, you see, was that a security guard confronted a customer about the mask requirements. Yep. And the customer stabbed the guard multiple times. Apparently pulled out a sharp object, perhaps an Apple Pen, and stabbed the security guard multiple times. The security guard is in stable condition after being stabbed. Now, by the time the police got there to the Apple Store, there on 14th Street near Chelsea, the suspect had fled the scene. He was described as a black male, 5'6", in his 20s, wearing a black mask. So this guy is using, this is the traditional use of a mask in New York City. You put it on during and after the commission of a crime. That's what masks are for. So eventually he did comply and he put on the mask is what happened. Anyway, and then also if you're working in a very dusty environment and there's a lot of particulate matter floating around, masks are good for that. Yeah, and then if you're a surgeon and you're about to slice somebody open, it's good to have a mask on so you don't spit in there. So masks do have their purpose. And, of course, the during and immediately following the commission of a violent crime is the traditional. All right, we'll move on from there into the justice file. The justice file for the feel-good story of the week. Coweta County out there in Georgia. Sheriff deputies, they were called to a house 10:30 in the morning there on September 24th. And what happened was a homeowner returned home from a few days out, and he found a man dead on his porch is what happened. Yes, and so there was an investigation, as you can well imagine. The dead man was identified as 21-year-old Alex Binyam Abraha. Abraha? I wonder if that's a typo. Anyway, Alex Binyam Abraha, 21 years old, dead on the porch. The homeowner says he didn't know the man, doesn't know why the man would be in his home or on his porch, dead. Well, the police looked around and they concluded that Abraha, it's not a typo, A-B-R-A-H-A, Abraha. It's like they forgot the last letter. Anyway, the police concluded that Abraha must have entered the home. He was a home intruder, broke into the house, and was attacked by the two pit bulls in the house, and was apparently mauled to death. Yes, according to police, the alleged home intruder was wanted on multiple... Alleged? He was wanted on multiple warrants. That's not alleged. They're alleging he was a home intruder. Well, I mean, they found his body. I think that fairly well establishes that he was there. That's just my opinion, is that I think he was there because, well, they found his body there. Anyway, So the feel-good story of the week, two beautiful pit bulls, which are fantastic dogs, by the way. I love the way they look, especially when they're well-groomed and they're not overfed and they're in good shape. That's a beautiful dog. One of the most beautiful breeds there is. And in addition, they'll maul a home invader to death and leave him in a bloody pile on the porch, which is yes, like an added bonus. The dogs are they are currently with Coweta County Animal Control. They are in a mandatory 10-day rabies hold, which that makes good common sense. I mean, dogs maul somebody to death. You want to make sure they didn't catch anything from the guy. So, I mean, who knows where that guy's been? He's out breaking into houses and stuff. That's not cool. All right, now, do I want to get right into this? Yeah, I'm going to wait on this one just a little bit because I'm you know how livid I am about the case against Lieutenant Colonel Scheller, the Marine who was awaiting non-judicial punishment in jail. And now he's facing a court-martial. They've decided not to do the Article 32. And I think they decided that the day they put him in jail. But we'll get back. Let me do this real quick. Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson back in the news. I haven't got to do my Mike Tyson voice in like 10 years. But he's back in the news. He's upset because he had to get the vaccine. That's right. This comes to us from the Big Dumb File, where Mike Tyson is, he was interviewed for some reason by someone. I can't imagine why. Is Mike Tyson even relevant or conscious any longer? I thought that once he had the tattoo on his face and then he fought, didn't he fight some guy like 10 years ago and it was embarrassing and we all thought that was done. Anyway, Mike Tyson says, I got the vaccine, but I was pretty much beaten into it. I was beaten into submission to do it because I travel internationally. I have to travel internationally, you see. If I don't travel, we don't eat. That's what Mike Tyson said, apparently about himself and whoever. I don't know if he has a family. Does he have a wife or kids? I mean, he's a walking freak show. I don't know that he has a wife, but maybe his entourage. I don't know. Maybe he has a pit bull. Anyway, he says if he doesn't travel, we don't eat. I think that's a bit of an exaggeration. I mean, is it possible that Mike Tyson has squandered all $200 or $300 million he ever made? I think that is possible. But, Mike, I don't think you have to travel internationally to eat. I think that's a bit of an exaggeration. You have to travel internationally to eat caviar and filet mignon. But I don't think you have to travel internationally to eat, Mike. It's a bit of an exaggeration. I think, Mike, you could probably eke out a living here in the United States somehow. Maybe at the circus. Anyway, one thing nice about Mike Tyson, he says, we got in the vaccine. I think people, they have their own choice. So Mike Tyson says we should have our own choice. So even Mike Tyson, one of the big dumb people, he's not so dumb to know that you shouldn't be forced to get a vaccine. Although this statement from Mike Tyson that if I don't travel internationally, we don't eat. I think this is illustrative of an attitude in America right now. We are so rich and we are so soft and we are so overindulged and comfortable that we associate any loss of our comfort and wealth and extravagant paraphernalia that we've acquired, we equate that with not eating. And I just don't think that's healthy. Here's what I think for Christian people who follow their conscience and raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, I think that there are probably difficult times ahead. Because our enemies are ascendant right now. Our enemies are getting themselves into a position more and more and more to lord more and more of their power over us. And they hate us and they want to kill us. Because we remind them that they are not God. And they hate that. Because they hate God. And Jesus said, they hated me, they will hate you. They will hate you. They hated me first. So I know there's a lot in the Bible about love. Jesus loved the whole world enough to give his life to save everyone if they would accept his salvation. Yes, there's a lot of love in there, but there's some hate in there too. And that hate comes from those who hate God. There were people at the time when Jesus said that who were actively plotting to murder him. They hated him. And he knew that they would hate his disciples. So there's some rough times, some difficult times that may be ahead for us who refuse to renounce our faith and join the new cult, the hip cult. So those of us who don't join the new hip cult, there might be some hard times. Might be difficult. You might have to give up some of your luxuries. I think you'll still be able to eat, but you may not be able to live the lifestyle that you've become accustomed to, and we all need to just prepare in our minds for that. Because often doing right costs you something. I mean, usually, at least in America, for my whole life, doing right generally benefited you. You ended up making more money and more friends and having a more better positive influence on society the more you did right. That's what was generally true, but now doing right could very well cost you everything. In fact, that's a good segue into Lieutenant Scheller, Mike Tyson aside. Mike Tyson will probably be able to eat some, it might be a third string Chinese shrimp that he ends up eating. Well, no, he joined the cult, so he's even got the face tattoo. So he was like one step ahead of everybody. But into Lieutenant Colonel Scheller now. He's now been charged with 6 violations of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, the UCMJ. Disrespect toward a superior. Willfully disobeying. Dereliction of duty. Failure to obey. And conduct unbecoming an officer. All right, so here's the thing. The only charge I disagree with is the latter, the final charge. Conduct unbecoming of an officer. That I disagree. All these other charges are valid. Look, this guy broke the rules. I was in the military and I know the rules. The rules are you can't post a public video challenging the chain of command. That's the rules. And so this guy broke the rules, and he's going to be punished, and he should be punished. But his conduct was not unbecoming an officer, in my opinion. Were I this judge, I would not find him guilty of that charge. I probably would find him guilty of these other charges, and I would throw him in jail and hope he writes a great book. That's what I would hope for. Anyway, he's been released from jail, Colonel Scheller has. He's no longer sitting in a brig, but there's been no hearing set for his court-martial. And there's been virtually no comment from anyone in the news media or on the right or from the Congress or any of the Republicans. Nobody seems to have noticed that this went from NJP. All of a sudden, it's a court-martial now. I thought he was going to get an Article 32 hearing. Oh, that's before everybody started noticing that he was getting an Article 32 and that he was in jail. And they decided, we really got to crush this guy. We got to destroy this guy. In fact, there are powerful forces in the Marine Corps and in the government who, if they could, they would have this guy killed for what he did. Because he stood up and he said the truth. I don't have to get into it. You've all seen the video. He basically said, none of you cowards, none of you generals, none of you colonels had the intestinal fortitude to tell the president that you're going to resign if he's going to destroy Kabul and get a bunch of people killed and leave a half a billion dollars worth of guns for the terrorists. We all know what he said. We all know what he did. Anyway, Lieutenant Colonel Scheller is guilty. This is from the widespread treason file. The treasonous people, by the way, are the people who Lieutenant Colonel Scheller used to work for. He tried to resign. They won't accept his resignation until after they put him through the grinder, destroy his life, lock him in prison for a while, and then hopefully they'll destroy his family too. That's what the general grade officers in the United States Marine Corps are obsessed with right now, is getting Lieutenant Colonel Scheller because he embarrassed them. How did he do that? he did right, and he risked the consequences. And you were one with the cause, and a reason to be. You were a fighter for peace on this earth, and you were never afraid. You put your life on the line, and you were always alone out on the sea. It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Anybody who fast-forwarded through that guitar solo, well, I can't have any respect for you as a human being. No, I'm just kidding. That's fine. Some people find that annoying. I find it uplifting, so there. So what do I want to do now? Joe Biden has his vaccine mandate. So the Federalist published an article this past week saying that Joe Biden's vaccine mandate doesn't actually exist. That's right. All it is a press conference. And that's true. It's absolutely true that there is no vaccine mandate written into the law. There's been no executive order. There's been no rule that's been churned out by the people at OSHA. There's nothing legally binding that has occurred, except for Joe Biden saying that there's a mandate. He mandates it. And so, it reminds me, it's a lot like Roe versus Wade. The court ruling, the Supreme Court decision in January of 1973, Roe versus Wade, did not explicitly make abortion legal. But the press and the politicians and the lawyers and the people, they said it did. And so it did. And everybody went along with it. And before long, in virtually every metropolitan city in the poorer side of town, the browner side of town, before too long, there were clinics where innocent people were being killed right there in our neighborhoods before too long, even though there was no law. The law never changed, but we were told it did. And so the writers here at the Federalist, I mean, I can appreciate their legalistic point that this isn't real. There's no mandate. There's no written rule. I can appreciate that. And I appreciate the Republican attorneys general in the various states who are going to bring suit against these maniacs, these cultists, a bunch of drug-addled sex pervert cultists have seized the government. And they're telling us that we have to join their cult, and everybody's going along with it. And there is no, anyway, I appreciate the legalistic point that there is no actual mandate, but it doesn't matter. If the people go along with it, it's real. If businesses, because Joe Biden say they have to, and then businesses do, that's just as good as a law. At least it's just as effective at getting everyone into the cult, for crying out loud. Okay, and so that's from the legal immorality file. And we appreciate the Federalist pointing this out, but in effect, there is a law. There is a law. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to over the past couple weeks who are coming to a point with their job and their career or some other social interaction where they've got to get this vaccine or else. Doesn't matter that there's not a law. There is a social construct that is real. And the cowardly, generally stupid people, the masses of people are generally cowards and they're generally stupid. And they're going to go along with it, even if it gets them killed. So anyway, you know, there's a reason that courage and intellect are noteworthy. And it's because they're relatively rare. Most people don't have either one. And what we need is for one of those, someone with both of those, to somehow supplant the drug-addled sex pervert cultists who've somehow seized the government of America. Right in front of God and everybody. And it's just bizarre. Anyway, and hopefully that person with the courage and the intellect also has that battalion of Marines that I mentioned last week. Bring those along just for good measure, because I think we'll probably need some of those as well. Okay, so we continue here on the Weekly Worldview. We're into the widespread panic file. That's right, widespread panic still. It's never going to end, ladies and gentlemen. The widespread panic is now a feature of daily life. It's the ongoing crisis. I used to read a magazine, The American Spectator, years ago, back before they became, I ended up not liking most of the guys involved, actually, after a while. As I became more conservative and they became more liberal, I think is what happened. Anyway, they had a column every month, I think, in the magazine. This was a magazine that we used to get made out of paper for all you kids out there. They used to deliver to our house back in the old days. That's right. A horse-drawn carriage would take it up the hill and throw it on the front porch. Anyway, they had a column every month called The Continuing Crisis. And it was tongue-in-cheek because, you know, there's no such thing as a continuing crisis. A crisis comes, it happens, then it's over. But it's not tongue-in-cheek anymore. Life is now the continuing crisis, and I think the people at the American Spectator are going along with it. They probably have a vaccine mandate and mask mandate at the American Spectator at their headquarters right now. And they're all working virtually on Zoom, but they wear masks anyways, is my guess. What's this from the widespread panic file? Seattle. Oh, yes, we go to Seattle. A communist paradise that's being constructed up there in the Northwest amidst the denim and the pot smoke and the mold and the flannel and the bad haircuts, right? And the vape mist, whatever's going. This is Seattle, right? It's a utopia. They're about to lose about a third of their police. And it's not due to the defund the police. They've already lost a good bunch of them through that. This is now the vaccine mandate. Because a bunch of policemen who have testosterone, some modicum of courage, and some bit of intelligence, they don't want to have an experimental vaccine. That's all. And they've been told you're going to get the shot or we're going to fire you. And they've said, well, okay, we're not getting the shot. And so next week, it's all going to come to a head in Seattle. And about 300 out of their approximately 900 police are going to be fired, quite possibly. And then who's going to protect the firemen, for crying out loud? How are the firemen supposed to go put out the fires if they don't have a phalanx of police? Maybe in Seattle, that's right, they have the bulletproof vests. Oh, no, that's San Francisco. That was another show. That wasn't this show. I'm not supposed to be making... Anyway, we did a show for Bob Inyart Live and Bob Inyart Ministries that aired on kgov.com where we talked about the bulletproof vests for the firemen. And in Seattle, they don't have bulletproof vests. They have a phalanx of police who go in to protect those dangerous firemen from those fine upstanding citizens in the homeless encampments. So anyway, Seattle might lose a third of its police is the long and short of it. There's no testing option. They can't stick the swab up their nose twice a day or whatever. Whatever the show was, whether we're all going to go along with that, act like we're testing. Oh, yeah, I'm testing. Got this. Stick this up my nose. Oh, sure, I'll go along with that. So they're not even going to be given that option to act like they're taking a test that acts like it's valid in any way. Last week, October 4th, was the last day they could get the shot and then go through whatever rigmarole it takes to say you're fully vaccinated, which makes you an official member of the cult. Not a priest or a priestess yet. I think you have to get a tattoo on your face for that. But if you get the shot, then you're at least in the club. You can start working your way toward a position of authority and power, so that you could one day be like Anthony Fauci with absolutely no courage, minimal intelligence, barely able to communicate, and still be able to lord authority over the entire world. You can say things that frankly contradict each other from one day to the next and still be viewed as an expert and lord your authority over virtually the entire planet. But you got to get the shot first so you can get in the club. And then hope that if you're in Seattle, hope that your apartment doesn't catch on fire because there's no police. Try to put that one together. All right, so we deeper into the widespread panic file. Have you seen the pictures of the cargo ships sitting out off the coast of Los Angeles and New York? It's absolutely bizarre. It's like another planet. It's so weird. And so we've got the police being fired because they won't get the vaccine. You've got the nurses at the hospital. They don't want the vaccine, so they're firing them. And now you've got the inability for commerce to continue because I don't know why, because everyone's freaked out. So you got thousands of ships now piling up off the coast because apparently we don't have people to unload the ships, which seems like a relatively simple task. I mean, I know that we're a technologically advanced economy, and this is the information economy and the tech economy. Okay, but still, you need guys to go pick stuff up off the ship and carry it into the port and put it in. Yeah, we can't do that? Really? How are we supposed to build electric cars and save the world from global warming if we can't even empty a ship? You mean we can't even fill up a truck? Okay, I don't know. I mean, is there someone who can code for that? Is there an app? Is there an app that apparently there's not an app? No, we don't. Anyway, so they're saying months. There could be months of delays and disruption to the economy. And then the author here, I downloaded this from a website called DefiantAmerica.com. That's alternative media for sure, right? DefiantAmerica.com. But anyway, I double-checked the pictures. They're real. They're not just making this up. But they say supply chains have lagged due to restrictions that came with the COVID-19 outbreak. And I would like to correct the authors at Defiant America. Supply chains have lagged due to restrictions that came with the COVID lockdowns and the spastic, hysterical, cowardly response to a potential crisis that occurred in the spring of 2020, from which civilization may never recover from that. And what I think's going on, why can't we unload a ship? Why can't we fill a truck and get the stuff to market? Is because the government told everyone that they could just be lazy for like a month. And I think a lot of people don't have the ability to recover from that. They were told they could be lazy. They want to be lazy. They're going to continue to be lazy. And they may not be able to eat caviar, they may not be able to eat filet mignon, but they'll just get by somehow on government cheese or whatever, and they'll get to lay around the house and indulge their appetites and their lusts, and they won't have to go out and serve their fellow man, and they somehow think that this is going to all be okay. Well, I'm here to tell you, it's not going to be okay, and we got to get up off our duff and get back to work. Is the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. We don't have a lot of time for lyrics from those boys. We like the guitar licks, but... So we come out of the widespread panic and laziness file. Here at the Weekly Worldview, where we go worldwide to a worldwide audience, unconstrained by the traditional bounds of the broadcast media, welcome. Thanks for sticking with us. We go into the Rumors of War file. Rumors of War file, where I saw this article up at townhall.com, which, by the way, anybody can read the news at townhall.com. It's public. It's, you can just go there and see it. It's there for everybody to see. And what do they have on Town Hall? An exclusive report. Exclusive, yes. Reporting that American service members, special operations troops, and Marines have been deployed in Taiwan training forces against China for about the past year. And this was a secret operation, but it's not a secret anymore. And that's annoying to me. This is something I should not know about. I should not know that America has been training Taiwanese to fight the Chinese in case they invade. This is supposed to be a secret. Why is this no longer a secret? Oh, I forgot. It's the drug-addled, deviant sex pervert cult that sees the government. They don't care about Taiwan. In fact, I think Taiwan's part of the deal. Taiwan is part of the deal that the Chinese are going to get. That's the sacrificial lamb that the world is going to give to China so that China will relent with whatever it is they've got over us. I maybe they got pictures of Hunter Biden. Obviously, that doesn't matter. Hunter Biden had pictures of Hunter Biden. It doesn't matter. The whole world gets to see it. It's as if it didn't even happen. The guy's selling art in L.A. for $50,000 a pop. How is that? And then you know what? So Hunter Biden's able to sell art to the art world, right? Which is just a really lousy testimony as to the state of civilization. And then R. Kelly, who is a rapper whose body of work I'm not familiar with, except for all the rapes and the sexual assaults. And then, of course, the women he raped. That's all I'm familiar with R. Kelly. Anyway, he's convicted of, I forget, 150 charges of raping, like everyone who got within reaching arm's length of him. And now his memorabilia and his albums, you can't find them. They're being bought and they're being auctioned off, and the value has gone through the roof.
What's the memorabilia? He died?
No, he didn't die. He got convicted and sent to prison for raping a bunch of women.
Why is there memorabilia?
And I don't know. And memorabilia is like stuff he signed or whatever. Oh. Concert t-shirts. I don't know what memorabilia is anymore. Okay. It's bongs and who knows what. But now the value is through the roof because he's notorious. And so this is illustrative of where we are in the arc of our civilizational progress, is that now being notorious is considered good. And doing right and saying the truth is considered hate speech, and you're considered a terrorist. But anyway, let's get back to the rumors of war, by golly. American troops apparently have been secretly training the Taiwanese military to resist a potential Chinese invasion. Now, we've got to hope that these troops were not training the Taiwanese in gender fluidity and pronoun etiquette. Let's hope not. Let's hope they were training them in close combat. Although it's hard to say, You want to know which pronouns that the Chinese invaders prefer so that you don't offend anyone. And our military is certainly up to speed on training other militaries on how to be gender fluid and a bunch of freaks. They actually allegedly were training them in various air defense techniques and how to kill a man silently with nothing but a Bic pen. Anyway, the Chinese Communist Party on TV just this past week, state TV talking heads called the Taiwanese government an evil force the mainland must crush. And Taiwan's foreign minister, Joseph Wu, told Australian TV just this past week that if China is going to launch a war against Taiwan, we will fight to the end. And that is our commitment. And this is what I don't think the rest of the world or the Chinese understand. I'm certain this is why the Chinese would rather not invade Taiwan. They would rather take it the way they took Hong Kong. Just bribe everyone, buy everyone off, and just slowly work your way until you can cut the political throat of anyone, any vestiges of Chiang Kai-shek and his... But if they do decide to invade... I think the entire world will be taught a lesson. And I think it's a lesson that we need to be taught. And that is that China is not invincible. The Chinese century is not inevitable. State communism is not inevitable. No, what do they call it? State capitalism. I'm sorry. I call it state communism. State capitalism is just communism by another name. It's godless, atheistic, criminal government. And it's not inevitable. Of course, it has to be resisted and fought. But it's not inevitable. And all the people in the government, in the Republican and the Democratic Party who think it's inevitable, every pastor from the pulpit who apparently thinks it's inevitable because they're afraid to say anything against it, you're wrong. It's not inevitable. The truth wins. Justice wins. The American way wins. This is still America. Some of us haven't forgot that. And we're with Lieutenant Colonel Scheller. If he would just watch his language, I would appreciate that. That's the only thing that I thought was unbecoming of an officer. But you know what? When you're watching the United States Marine Corps be corrupted and destroyed, and you're watching our enemies being emboldened and even armed, I can understand how you probably get mad enough to swear about it. So I'm going to take that back. He's allowed to swear about it. He's probably very mad. And some of these people in the highest reaches of the government, they need to be sworn at and told exactly what they are. Now, let's go from there into the Dim New World file. The Dim New World is populated with one Yeonmi Park. She's a student. Yeonmi Park is her name, and she lived in North Korea for 14 years. As a child, she escaped to China only to find that she was forced into the slave trade. And then she eventually somehow made her way to South Korea. And in 2014, she ends up in the United States of America, probably on her face, kissing the ground. Right? After 7 years in hell. Well, not 7 years in hell, 21 years in hell, 14 years in North Korea. 7 years as a slave in China and North Korea and whatever they did with her. It's awful. She ends up getting to America. She falls on her face, kisses the ground. Thanks God, I'm sure. And then for whatever reason, she enrolls in Columbia University. It's like, what? Really? Columbia University? Well, you know what? She didn't know any better. She thinks America is still a shining light on a hill. And that the Ivy League school is the ultimate reward. It's the ultimate prize, right? To get into an Ivy League school after living as a slave It's the American dream, right? Well, now she says that, well, she went to Colombia. So I pulled this article down from WorldNet Daily. She expected to go to Colombia to learn how to think, right? Because she grew up in a communist atheist dictatorship where everyone was forced to worship this fat, insane person and told that he was God. And she says she got to Colombia expecting to learn how to think, but she says now they're just forcing me to think the way they want to think. They want me to think a certain way. They don't want to teach me to think. They want to make me think their way. And she says she thought America was different. But Yeonmi Park, a refugee from North Korea, she says that she sees a lot of similarities in what she saw in North Korea, and she says, I started worrying about it. As soon as she got to Colombia, she started worrying. She says she's witnessed example after example of anti-Western sentiment and guilt-tripping. Yeah, when she first got to Colombia, the staff there told her that appreciation for classic literature amounted to supporting racists and bigots with colonial mindsets. Yeah, those authors, those classics, they subconsciously brainwash people. That's what she was being told about good quality literature, for crying out loud. Good quality literature is now racist and bigoted with a colonial mindset. And now she's no dummy. She speaks three languages: Korean, Chinese, and now English. But she says English is her third language. She learned it as an adult. So it's difficult for her sometimes. She says, sometimes I say he or she by mistake, and now they're mad at me about the pronouns. She's like, how is someone like me supposed to keep track of the pronouns, for crying out loud? I barely speak English. She says, now they want me to call them they. She doesn't know what's going on. She barely figured out he and she, which is difficult. Now they want to be... Anyway, she calls it a regression in civilization. That's what she's experienced at Columbia University. She says even North Korea is not this nuts. Yeah. She says North Korea was pretty crazy, but not this crazy. Unbelievable. And she warns people. And so this is a person who should know. This is a person who escaped. She fled a communist paradise, right? And she says, everyone in America is losing their ability to think critically. She says, there's no rule of law. There's no morality. Nothing is good or bad anymore. She said, this is chaos. She says, it's as if they want to destroy everything and rebuild it into a communist paradise. And she uses the word paradise euphemistically to mean hell is what she means. Well, why does she mean? Because she's been there. And she sees where we're headed. How does she see that? Because she lived it. She escaped it. Or so she thought. From one paradise to another, so to speak. All right. Meanwhile, over in Kabul, where our spectacular collapse has left, another paradise. A bomb exploded. Downloaded this story late last week. There's been another bombing since this one. This bombing was at the entrance of a mosque, last Sunday. Killed a lot of civilians. What was happening at the mosque? There was a memorial service for the mother of a Taliban spokesman. And so someone's now bombing the Taliban. People suspect that it's ISIS. So ISIS is now going to fight against the Taliban for control of the paradise that we left there in Kabul. That's from the Eastern Front file, by the way. And for all of you young people who don't know what a paper magazine is, go look up the Eastern Front, and then you'll probably understand my reference to ISIS and the Taliban and all of that associated with our spectacular military collapse as executed by the drug-addled sex pervert deviant cultists who somehow seize the government and are hell-bent on giving it all away. Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. That guy, that singer sounds kind of like a girl. He's got that really high voice. I remember when I was about, let's see, I had to be less than 9 years old, but I remember sitting next to the record player where my mom was playing records, and I asked my mom, is the singer a boy or a girl? I couldn't tell. It was the Beatles. It was the Beatles, and I remember they were all in a, I believe it was the Beatles For Sale album, because they were in a trunk, if I remember correctly. Anyway, it's just a vague memory of us. So we go from there into the, well, this is no, there's no file for this. This is just a wildlife file. A man up in Fargo, North Dakota, took a four-day trip. He went away for a little while, and when he got back, he found under the hood of his Chevy Avalanche 175 pounds of black walnuts, which had been stored there by a squirrel. So in 4 days, a squirrel moved 175 pounds of black walnuts from parts unknown underneath into this guy's Chevy Avalanche, which is a pickup truck, by the way. So what's the moral of the story? Well, if you think there are things you can't accomplish, you think that a task is too big, you think you just can't get out and do it, well, this squirrel moved 175 pounds of black walnuts in just 4 days. And it probably had to hide from other predators the whole time. Because, you know, squirrels are really popular with the carnivores out there. Anyway, the owner had called his insurance agent. and the agent spent 7 hours removing various parts of the truck in order to get the nuts out. Now, why the insurance agent did this, I don't know why. I didn't think insurance agents were responsible for fixing the damage. I thought they were just responsible for pay. Oh, maybe he wanted the nuts. Anyway, the nuts filled 7 5-gallon buckets. So think of this squirrel. I mean, that's a pretty motivated squirrel, right? Let's see here. The insurance agent said, you know what? He said he's got most of the nuts that he can get out. He got out of the truck, but there's a lot of nuts that the squirrel hid inside the frame of the vehicle. And the agent is pretty sure he cannot get those nuts out. That some nuts are going to stay in the truck, in perpetuity. And so, the owner, go ahead now. This could be a fake story. It's from Fox News. I need to double check these kind of things. You just be making this all up, right? Why is an insurance agent taking a part of? I think I may have been had. It's quite possible. Anyway, the only reason this story caught my eye is because I had an experience with my pickup truck. My pickup truck is, I have an old 03 Tundra that we use for farm type stuff. And what type of animal was it that built his house in there? Was it a squirrel, we think?
No, it was a rat, right?
A rat, that's right. It was a rat. I didn't think it was a squirrel. Anyway, a rat built a nest underneath the manifold, between the block and the manifold of my truck. And I start up, and I'm smelling all this weird stuff. And, no, it was nuts and sticks and twigs. Anyway, I never caught the rat. I ended up picking that thing out of there. It was a murder. I mean, you don't want to pull the manifold off an engine just to get the rat's nest out.
Why didn't you call insurance company?
That's it. I should have called my insurance. Tell them, look, I plan to pay the deductible in walnuts. Just take, how about you take 3 buckets, I'll keep 4, and we'll call it even. All right. Yeah, that could be a fake story. Totally. Totally fake. But you know what? Relatively harmless. Even if I made a mistake on that one, it will not lead to anybody's imminent harm or pain or anything like that. We go from there into the real religion file where we check in with our tour Pawlowski, the fearless Canadian pastor who has stood up against the Nazis and the fascists and the drug-addled, deviant, sex pervert cult that has seized the government in Canada. And, well, they basically, he's been down here in the United States on a tour telling people to get up off their knees in front of the government and get down on their knees before God. That's what he's been touring around telling people, which is something people need to hear. And so his lawyers called the Canadian government when our tour was getting ready to fly back into Canada because, you know, that's a thing now. It used to be you could just walk into Canada, drive across, fly, whatever. Now it's like you're entering an armed third world camp. And so our tour is getting ready to fly back to Canada. His lawyers called the Canadian government. They're saying, look, can our tour fly in? Are you guys going to arrest him? Are there any warrants? Is he in any trouble? And the Canadian government assured them that Pastor Pavlovsky was, there's no warrants, everything's fine, come on in, the water's warm. And so as soon as he landed, they arrested him on the tarmac. And by the way, they flew him into a different airport than his family was expecting. So they separated him from his family and arrested him, pushed him to his knees and put him in handcuffs on the tarmac. Yeah. Oh, listen, I love this part. The cops there who were arresting Pavlovsky, they demanded that the pilot step out of the plane and surrender his phone. That they demanded it. And the pilot said no. And he instead, he recorded the whole incident. And the cops didn't have did the cops take on the pilot? No. Why? Because they didn't know what to do when a man actually stood up and told them no. They hadn't experienced that before. They weren't sure what to do. And so they just went around and they went on with arresting Pavlovsky. But the pilot, they were scared of him. Why? Because these people are a bunch of cowards. All these little Nazis lording their authority over you, they're afraid of you if you'll just stand up and tell them. But yeah, just get up off your knees in front of these Nazi bastards. And get on your knees before the cross, but get up off your knees in front of these people. Is there anything else? Anyway, Pavlovsky was charged with not wearing a mask, organizing a church service, which we all know are high crimes and misdemeanors, of course. People wanted to know what exactly was going on, and the Canadian government said that, the border services here, we're bound by the Privacy Act, so we can't comment on our fascism, because, you know, that's private. Anyway, here's what Pavlovsky said. Jesus Christ is very clear. He who comes to me is free indeed. We preach freedom. We preach hope. The people are turning for that hope to the government, and I think the government wants to become God, to be worshipped. And anyone that competes with them has to be destroyed. And that's why the Canadian government is hell-bent on destroying Pastor Pavlovsky and anyone else who won't shut up. Get on their knees and join the cult. Get the shot. Get the tattoo. Come on. If you don't, they're going to come after you and destroy you. Unless something changes dramatically, the trajectory looks very difficult for those of us who proclaim the name of Jesus Christ and who care about right and wrong and truth and doing right and all of that stuff. The trajectory looks uncomfortable, to say the least. Speaking of uncomfortable, let's go to the Queering of Sports file, where Laurel Hubbard, you'll remember, we covered Laurel. Larry, I believe, is the name. Let's go scratch that out here. Sorry. It can get confusing around here. Larry Hubbard is a boy. He's a male weightlifter who competes and loses on the women's team. We remember from the Olympics, not only did he compete, he competed poorly. He was beat by the girls. Despite all that, Larry has been named Sportswoman of the Year. But by who? Well, nobody really of any import. The University of Otago. Well, let's see if we can figure out who that is. The University of Otago is on New Zealand's South Island. Okay. Apparently, that's right. Wasn't this Hubbard a New Zealand? That's right. He was on the New Zealand women's weightlifting team. and couldn't make the cut, but some college full of demented weirdos, and no doubt a bunch of lesbians and trannies, have declared him Sportswoman of the Year. And now that story goes out around the world as if it means something, and it, well, it does mean something. It means, like, the end of the world, but, I mean, the end of the world's right around the corner. Anyway, the University of Otago said that their Sportswoman of the Year award had never before been given to a biological male.
What?
Okay. So, just so many levels here. First of all, we would all assume that your Sportswoman of the Year award had never been given to a man before. That kind of goes without saying, or it went without saying until, you know, this recent insanity. And just a note to the folks at the University of Otago, you're all college educated, biological male, you could just say male. I mean, I'm just saying, you don't need all those extra letters and syllables. You could just say, we've never given this award to a man before. We could do without the whole biological male thing. I mean, we all know what a... I mean, we know what that is. Those of us, you know, who know anything, we know what that is. The Sportsman of the Year, by the way, they also give a Sportsman of the Year award. How much longer will that be? No, that'll have to end. In fact, there won't be a. In fact, by next year, I predict that the University of Otago there in New Zealand, they won't have a sportswoman or a sportsman of the year award. They'll just have a sport person award, because these two terms are just they're too. It's like enslaving people. It's like putting people in shackles, classifying them as men and women. It's just horrible. How could you possibly do that? Anyway, their sportsman of the year award also went to a biological male. Meaning, what? Wait a second. Does that mean it went to a man? I'm confused now. Did they have the temerity to give their Sportsman of the Year award to a man? Well, that simply will not be tolerated again. Yes, they call it a biological male. I believe that means a man. Although it could be confusing. The Larry Hubbard, the weightlifter? Yeah. Well, he's, well, we don't know. And those are certain questions you don't want to ask. There's certain elements and aspects of the story that are better left unsolved. We'd rather not know about Larry and his business. Let's go from there to the Better Late Than Never file, where a mom in Florida, Keisha King, she got a standing ovation. Uh-huh. She was at the Family Research Council's annual Pray Vote Stand Summit. That's Family Research Council. Who've been going along with just about every type of immorality and insanity that have enveloped the country. They've gone along with a little bit of it the very first, and then they get upset about it and raise money on it. I remember the Family Research Council back in the 90s when Bob Enyart and I were standing athwart history screaming, stop, don't give the homosexuals equal rights. Don't do it. The Family Research Council was dutifully there saying, well, we want to tolerate that. We want them to have, some civil rights, but then, you know, we could probably raise a lot of money against when they start going really crazy. We'll be able to send out a lot of fundraising letters. So the Family Research Council, along with Focus on the Family and other allegedly conservative organizations, they went along with just enough of the immorality so that they could profit off the strife that's ginned up afterwards. So I'm not a big fan of the Family Research Council. And they have their annual Pray, Vote, Stand, Sleep, Sit, Shut Up, whatever, summit. And this mom stood up and called for a mass exodus from the public schools, which, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, the Family Research Council has yet to do. The Family Research Council, if they were actually interested in preserving the family, they would have been calling for a mass exodus from the public schools 20 years ago. But as far as I know, they have not. I stand to be corrected. If the Family Research Council wants to have a spokesman call me and tell me where it was they stood up and called for a mass exodus, then I will gladly repent publicly. I'll commit Harry Carey on the radio. If they actually called for a mass exodus and I just missed it. Anyway, this mom stands up. She calls for Keisha King. Stands up, calls for a mass exodus from the public schools. Why? Because now the sexual immorality has become so grossly insane And the leftism is now straight up Marxist ideology, right? It's gotten so bad that it got Keisha's attention finally. And it's better late than never. Keisha, welcome. Come on in. The water's warm. Anyway, she got a standing ovation. She received prolonged applause, and many in the audience even rose to their feet. So praise the Lord. I mean, it's finally something. There's been enough to wake these people up. I actually am very glad to have Keisha on board. And perhaps she will help me to fashion reason number 1,200 and whatever to get her kids, your kids, everybody's kids out of the government schools. Okay, so we're almost done here. We're running out of time. And yeah. What's that? Judge Jeanine.
Yeah, she said get the kids out of
Judge Jeanine said get the kids out of public school over the weekend, huh?
Yeah.
Listen to that, Judge Jeanine. Jeanine Pirro. Yes, she's the one who dresses like the lead singer from Motley Crue. Or no, maybe the drummer, I forget. How is it that she dresses? But hey, you know what? Even if she dresses like Tommy Lee and whatever, that's fine. As long as she's calling for kids to get out of the public school, I'm glad
that.
To have her on board.
That's a little too much.
No, she does. She has the leather and the weird.
No, I know. She should have changed her clothes.
Yeah, she could. Anyway, she could continue to call for an exodus from the public schools. But not dress like a hair metal artist from from the 80s, which is just weird. All right, yeah, so all of our audio equipment over the past 48 hours has either blown up or I've smashed it with a hammer trying to fix things. So we lost our clothes. We lost it. It's been lost. And so we're going to go with Lenny, right?
Yeah.
A little SRV. And so if this annoys you, well, then you simply can't be an American. Right? If you feel the need to fast forward through Lenny, I mean, I feel for you. Okay, we'll come back down. All right. So finally, let's close. What do I want to close with? Yes. From the Just a System file, out in Baltimore, a man accused in a carjacking and assaulting a police officer just this past week. Turns out, He was also facing attempted first-degree murder charges from back in December of 2020. 19-year-old punk criminal accused of first-degree murder was granted home confinement in the spring after an attempted murder in December of 2020. So this is just a system at this point. And in fact, now is it? It's not just a system now. Because now the system is turning criminals out to commit more crimes. So the Just a System is now weaponizing criminals against the innocent. And they act like it's unintentional. Well, it's just the way the system works. You know, he got home release because he qualified. We have to apply the law equally. Well, now that the criminals are being weaponized against the innocent, perhaps this will be enough to wake people up and someone will finally stand up and say, look, this far and no further, we are not going to tolerate this level of violence in our midst. And perhaps if we were able to start by refusing to tolerate the well-regulated murder of innocent people, that's taking place in our neighborhoods every day, quietly, silently, very clean. Perhaps if we would not tolerate that, we would not be forced to suffer through this, our own Just a System weaponizing the criminals against us. That's the Weekly Worldview, folks. Thank you for listening. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio and American Right to Life. And my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview Studio. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.